Hello, America. We are here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. And yes, I'm joined today by Jack Posobiec. If you want to support our program, it's charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Nick for your very generous support from Utah. Allison from San Diego, California. Thank you. Peter from Watertown, Wisconsin. Thank you. Betsy from Hillsboro, New Mexico. Thank you. Debbie from Mesa, Arizona. Thank you. Carl from Carlsbad, California. Thank you. It's interesting. Kathleen from Apple Valley, California. Thank you. Glenna from Fort Worth, Texas, and so many more people that have supported us at charliekirk.com/support. Are you guys coming to Phoenix, Arizona, December 18, 19, 2021? AmFest, brought to you by Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Check it out. Come to America Fest in downtown Phoenix. It's going to be amazing. Tickets are running out, everybody, so go to tpusa.com/AmFest right now to get your tickets to come to Turning Point USA's amazing pro-American celebration, AmFest, tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Check it out right now. I think you are going to love it. At tpusa.com/AMFEST. It's going to be incredible. Okay, email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. A lot happening, everybody. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Jack, you're doing an amazing job in a variety of different ways. You also have a phenomenal podcast, and I'm kind of bitter about this. Half bitter, actually. I'm actually really happy about it. It's doing very well. It's Human Events Daily with Turning Point USA with Jack Posobiec.
Yeah, so we normally do it out of the D.C. office, and then here I am ensconced in the beautiful Phoenix headquarters, the mothership of Turning Point.
Yes.
And so I'm normally out of sort of the, you know, the bastion, the beachhead of Turning Point in Washington, D.C. But I got to tell you, man, between the shootouts that are going on, you know, D.C. had an actual bank robbery this month?
So tell us about
this. Like an honest-to-God, Bonnie and Clyde style, they go in with masks, guns, everybody on the floor, bank robbery. Like a old-school, straight-up bank robbery.
No, but the real problem with America is moms and dads showing up at school board meetings.
Yes, of course. No, it's the school board meetings, right? And then and Turning Point, I saw, got called out, was the National School Board Association writes that Turning Point is radicalizing domestic terrorists because – and I followed the footnote and I said – well, what's Turning Point doing? Okay, they're reporting on what's going on at school.
That's right. Schoolboardwatchlist.org has
so it's reports.
Now
got
warranted
it.
Attention from the National School Board Association with it, Merrick Garland, the FBI, the Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security. And people say, Charlie, are you worried? We're not even doing anything remotely unconstitutional. We're profiling what people are doing. And no, we're not going to be intimidated. We've been through that before. But it also shows that you're doing the right thing. The association is linked to the school board watch list, a campaign started by the conservative group Turning Point USA, which seeks to identify school districts across the country that are abusing their power to push leftist, racist, and anti-American propaganda. Publicly available sourcing of materials, not misinformation. The National School Board Association considers what we're doing as a public awareness project to be worthy of bringing in the Federal Bureau of Investigation, but not investigating bank robberies, which interestingly enough
FBI.
Is the FBI.
Yeah, that is the purview of the FBI because FDIC.
That's right. And so – that actually, if I'm not mistaken, that was one of the first reasons they started the FBI. Was
right, so
the,
it was under Treasury.
Yeah, it was J. Edgar Hoover who actually convinced people in the 30s and 40s, we need some form of a centralized federal organization because of the – there was a bank robbery epidemic in the 20s, 30s, and
40s. Yeah, started in the 20s, and this is where you get sort of the Al Capone, Chicago, yes. et cetera. You're a Chicago guy, you know. And, you know, that's kind of the impetus. And it's kind of funny because I think J. Edgar Hoover is the first director of the FBI. And people say, well, you know, when people say, oh, the FBI is, you know, it used to be a great institution, but now it's a, really when J. Edgar Hoover was running it.
When they spied on Martin Luther King Jr. And they spied on Bobby Kennedy, the Attorney General, and JFK, the
president. When they were putting informants in with Malcolm X and, by the way, did you know that one of Tupac's bodyguards, FBI informant?
Tupac Shakur?
The very same. The Tupac Shakur.
Well, it makes you wonder who's around you. I'm kidding. We got great people around us. Got nothing to hide. We're doing great work here.
I'm pretty open about it, folks. I was a Fed. Former Fed. Totally former. 100% former.
Well, you worked for the Navy, though.
Navy intelligence, yeah.
So it was minor detail.
Yeah, minor detail. No, but I get it so many times from people because they'll come up and say, you know, Jack, I don't know, man. Once intel, always intel. I know about the IC. It's like, guys, no, like I was in the Navy. It just was assigned to intel. It's not
there's
that.
Some great people that work for the Bureau. There's some great people that work for intel agencies. Unfortunately, they're spending their time because of Merrick Garland worrying about moms and dads going to school board meetings, not about rising crime. So let me just ask you, is D.C. legitimately getting more dangerous?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. So the new big thing right now is the carjackings will come in, and the carjackings will take place in places like Navy Yard or some of the more
good
upscale
area.
A lot of these gentrified, more upscale areas. I remember, so I've been in D.C. In a couple of months, it'll be 10 years since I moved down.
Jeez,
with Navy Intel
like
when I was stationed there. Absolutely. Very masochistic. And so it's Navy Yard used to be a pretty rough area, so I would go down there for a lot of administrative work. I was at Navy Intel, which is across the way in Suitland. Suitland was always horrible. Suitland is absolutely horrific. A ton of MS-13 in Suitland, by the way. And then Balling Air Force Base is where DIA is, so if you have a DIA meeting, you've got to go through Anacostia. Anyone who knows the D.C. area knows Anacostia. You don't want to be on that side of the river. But then Navy Yard was at least trying to turn a corner, and it seems that they put a ton of money in it. AOC moved in there. Kristen Sinema moved in there. They have, like, you know, not move, but they have their apartments there.
And their Teslas.
And their Teslas. And though Kristen said, she's done some interesting things lately.
I'm a cinema fan. I've been very clear about that.
President Cinema?
I don't know about that.
We'll see.
She's basically running the country. Cinema's in Europe right now. I thought she was running the Boston Marathon. No.
Total power move, by the way.
I respect it.
Just bounce. Just straight up. Well, Pelosi went to Europe, and now Joe and Jill Biden are going to Europe, so she's going. But no, getting back to it. So D.C., it's gotten progressively worse. So the carjackings, what they'll do now is they'll come into these nicer areas. They'll drive up to you in a car. They're not going to carjack you, but they'll go up. And we've seen this happen a few times where – I mean, not personally, just in the news – where – they come up, they mug you at gunpoint, but they don't ask you for your wallet. They say, go to the ATM.
Oh.
Go to your account, whatever you have in there, pull it all out, or, you know, whatever the limit is.
Which would be like $10,000
or something. Yeah, give me everything you got.
Yeah, so that's our nation's capital. It's become a war zone, legitimately. And
just yesterday, I just saw this in the news right after I left town. There was a drive-by shooting where somebody had, stood up on the seat through a sunroof and was shooting at people on the street from the sunroof as they drove by. CNN's vice president of communications, Matt Dormick, was actually dodging gunfire in a drive-by. Like the actual CNN executive.
Is the point where they start to care about crime when they start to have to dodge bullets?
They're shooting at you, Matt.
It's kind of this question is, you know, everyone's a tough guy till you get punched in the face. Everyone's a leftist till you get in a drive-by shooting.
It's amazing because he posts the video. So this is the VP of Strategic Communications, Matt Dormick for CNN. He posts the video. I guess it's like a Ring video, the Ring camera. And he's literally dodging bullets from a drive-by shooting in Washington, D.C. And thank God he wasn't hit, obviously, 100%. But Matt, do you think that maybe someplace you work could, I don't know, talk about these things?
Every once in a while, a coffee company comes along that changes the way we think about our morning routine. Are you looking for a conservative coffee company that shares your values of freedom and liberty and not feel like you've been thrown under the bus because of your beliefs? Minutemen Coffee is that company. Bold, smooth, and never bitter, roasted in small batches and shipped to order, Minutemen Coffee never fails to deliver on time and with the freshest roasts available. Minutemen Coffee supports our first responders, our constitutional sheriffs, and our veteran and military servicewomen and men throughout the country of various charities. I am proud to partner with Minutemen Coffee and excited to share them with you. Minutemen Coffee subscription plans are top-notch and easy to manage on your terms. The coffee is so delicious, everybody. You won't believe it. So give them a try and use Charlie at checkout for 15% off your order. Go to MinutemenCoffee.com and get your freedom-loving coffee today. You will not be disappointed. We are here with Admiral Jack, who is the host of Human Events Daily, a phenomenal podcast that is actually beating the Charlie Kirk Show in the podcast charts. Help us out, everybody, but I'm pleased because Turning Point USA is the co-publisher, I guess we could say, or the powered by arm of that. Which,
yeah, no, we're under the umbrella, I would say. You know, the giant octopus.
It's
of,
a great
of
joy.
Point.
It really is. It's been
what we do is different from what you do though. Here is that what we're doing is it's 25 minutes. It's our motto is be good, be brief, be gone. And what I'm doing is a military briefing, the same way that when I was an intelligence officer in the Navy, and I would have to go in front of the CO or go in front of the admiral, whatever it is, and sir, here are the five main things that you need to know today. And I'm in. I give you a little bit of analysis, I'm out, and then I'm done. So it's very tight. It's very short. It's a quick listen. You know, I get a lot of comments on it that say, you know what, I'm driving around. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm a homemaker. And, you know, we homeschool, so my kids are doing a lot of things. But I want to be in touch, right? I want to kind of know what's going on, but not go super deep. And so you catch a lot of, actually, my own wife. This is like the first time that I've done, you know, content on a regular basis where she's like, yeah, I watch every episode of that. Actually, the only other one that my wife watches other than that is Poplitics. She loves Poplitics.
Alex Clark, Poplitics.
She loves it. She literally, like, she knows all the lingo. She's like, oh, and do you know about the cinnamon rolls? Cinnamon rolls. What are cinnamon rolls? And she's like, oh, yeah, I love the cinnamon rolls. And I'm like, I didn't even know you watched it. You know,
Alex has
stuff?
Done a very good job. Some of your recent podcasts. Military briefing on Taiwan crisis, Christian response to the jab testing on aborted fetuses. Very, very issue specific.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is really, really important. Okay, so let's talk about one of the issues you've been talking about. Jack, what is the freedom flu?
Yeah, so the freedom flu, this is a phrase that I coined and went to number one on Twitter and now is kind of spreading across various industries, and it's been used as a sort of catch-all term for the workers who have decided, for whatever reason, medical, personal, religious, that they don't want to go along with the vaccine mandates. And so what you're seeing now is work slowdowns, work stoppages, in some cases actual sick outs. We just broke the story last night, actually. At a worker from Boeing in Seattle sent me a bunch of documents saying that they're planning to do a sick out starting today, as a matter of fact, starting today, and in response to these mandates because they don't want them. And so they're calling it the freedom flu. Now, because of the union rules for a lot of these industries, they can't do a formal strike. And so Southwest, of course, was sort of the original company that was behind this or experienced this, I should say, when they had 2,000 airlines or 2,000 flights canceled in the wake of 9,000 employees, the SWAPA, the Airline Pilots Association, suing in federal court for an injunction on the airline or on these vaccine mandates. Now, think about it, Charlie. Being an airplane pilot, this is one of the most regulated jobs on the face of the planet. Mm-hmm. They can't take Tylenol when they're flying. You can't, obviously, you can't have alcohol before or after, et cetera, et cetera. They had to fight just to get Sudafed, just literally be able to take Sudafed if you're on, you know, a 6-hour long haul, 8-hour, et cetera. If you're doing one of the Asia Pacific flights, it's even worse. So even longer. So for them to be told, hey, you all need to take this when they know that they're, because when you're flying, you need your flight certificate, but you also need your up-to-date medical certificate. So this is one of the most – I mean, you are scrutinized and observed, and your medical information is known pretty much for everyone in the entire country. It's not, you know, it's not exactly HIPAA, but you know what it is. So they're being said – they're being told to take this, and they're like, why? Mm-hmm. You know, and the other thing is that 80% of pilots are former military. So you've also got people who are saying, look, they're in peak physical condition, and you've got people that they are high performers. So just sort of by way of proxy, they tend to be a little bit more conservative. Right?
Yes.
That high performance environment tends to be conservative.
I've never met a liberal pilot. I've met non-political pilots.
Sure.
And I met a lot of pilots, but they tend to really love the country.
I actually, to back you up on that, I had a report. I didn't even tweet this out yet, but I got a report in that there was a flight going on. up to Alaska. And this is where you saw Benny Johnson had the photo of the Don't Tread on Me flag hanging from Southwest.
The Alaska
you saw another
Airlines
Alaska
one
Airline one. I got out. And this is from an Alaska Airlines pilot who reached out and said there that there was a squawk going on this emergency channel that they use on the radio that's not usually used. And they they turned over to it to say, hey, what's going on here? And it was a bunch of pilots sending back and forth, let's go, Brandon.
Oh, well, and that and, is the new chant.
As well as another one that shall remain nameless.
Townhall.com. In Chicago, as in many cities across the country, public employees have been told by officials that they must get vaccinated against the Wuhan flu or face losing their jobs or income. Included in Chicago Mary Lori Lightfoot's mandate is the Chicago Police Force. But the union president says that half of all police could be let go by the deadline and will be placed on unpaid leave. It's safe to say the city of Chicago have a police force at 50% less or this weekend. Who's going to blink? We're going to talk about that leading up because we are now hitting these deadlines and you might lose police officers, pilots, airliners, military, and more. Hey, everybody. China is taking over the world. Do you know that you might be buying Chinese meat? Yeah. Well, I'm telling you right now, you need to buy American meat. I want you to imagine 100,000 Americans losing their jobs. Well, it's happened. Since 2015, over 100,000 independent farms and ranches in the United States have shut down. Why? Because foreign meat coming into America, being labeled as America meat, very, very deceivingly labeled American meat, is coming in. If you guys want a box of meat, comes to your door discreetly, it's phenomenal. GoodRanchers.com. Do you know that the product of USA tag has been stolen by foreign countries? They process their meat here and label it like it came from the United States. Because of these labeling laws that favor foreign imported meat, over 100,000 independent American farms and ranches have closed since 2015. Good Ranchers is here to put America number one. When Good Ranchers comes to the office, I tell you, it's amazing steak, incredible chicken. It is marbled beautifully at GoodRanchers.com. Go to GoodRanchers.com/Charlie right now to save $20 off, or better yet, subscribe and save each box of mouth-watering American meats that will show up on your schedule right to your door. That's right. Get $20 off and free express shipping if you go to goodranchers.com/Charlie or use promo code Charlie at checkout. That's $20 off and free express shipping. Here, look, when you guys go to goodranchers.com/Charlie, it fills three needs. Number one, you all have to eat. Number two, it supports the Charlie Kirk Show. Number three, it helps American farmers and ranchers. Eat, help the show, help the country. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. So I want to finish this story here. Chicago Police Union, Lightfoot's vaccine mandate will sideline half of all Chicago Police Department officers, despite the fact that many of these police officers have already had the Fauci virus and they've already been naturally inoculated. And so now there is a showdown between Lori Lightfoot and the Chicago Police Union. So let's get an update. Year to date, 639 people have been shot and killed in Chicago. 3,111 have been shot and wounded. 3,750 people total shot. 679 homicides. In October, they're a little behind schedule, so let's see if they'll catch up. They're 23 shot and killed, 161 shot and wounded, 184 total shot, and 26 total homicides. And just this week alone, 8 people shot and killed, 43 shot and wounded, 51 total shot, and 9 total homicides. In the city of Chicago, a person is shot every 1 hour and 50 minutes and murdered every 10 hours and 9 minutes. But Lori Lightfoot is saying, you know what? You know what's important? Forget saving lives of the 639 people shot and killed. What's more important is being forced to get a vaccine that has questionable outputs at best. And Fauci and the CDC and NIH have said it does not prevent transmission or from you getting the virus. Jack, I'm going to ask you to do a prediction, which is always, you know, it could go either way. Who do you think is going to blink here in all this? When it comes to the military vaccines, the airline vaccines, the police vaccines, are they going to actually say, you know what, we're going to put half of our police away. We're going to fire these airline workers. We're going to fire the military members. What's going to happen?
Look, you're at a situation right now where the Biden regime, and I do call it regime because that's the type of actions they are taking, are regime-like actions, right? Forcing people to do this. They're realizing that they're in a hard place right now because they're not the only ones in this country who have power, right? The people who make this country move, the people who protect us from crime, the people that work our shipyards to make sure that the Navy is out there patrolling the seas, patrolling the South China Sea, the people who work to get our freight, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, supply chain issues are massive right now. The more you stress truckers, the more you stress that system, right? The more workers are going to say, you know what? I'm burnt out. I'm pulling back. I just walked past an American flag, and I think I got a little bit of that freedom flu because I'm sick of the way that you're treating us. So the regime is realizing this. And by the way, coming, you know, I talk about all the time, but I come from a Polish background, that it actually was the dock workers in Poland that led Solidarity. And this was the first thing that broke the back of communist rule in Poland in the 1980s, 1989, after Tiananmen Square. And so you really look at these situations that they have a lot of power if they choose to wield it. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're definitely going to see some – you've already saw this, by the way, where the Southwest Airline Pilot Association president came out and said, we need to talk about alternative accommodations. We need to talk about mm-hmm. natural immunity. We need to talk about antibody testing. We need to get some semblance of this, because the way you guys are going with this catch-all, one-size-fits-all, you must take this. And keep in mind, December 8th is the deadline that's been set by the federal government. But that means December 8th, you need to be fully vaccinated. That means for some of these, because they require two shots, so, and you can't take them, you know, one day, one the next day, you've got to start taking your shots sooner and sooner. That means probably November 24th is actually the real date. So we're almost, you know, just a little, what, 6 weeks? We're 6 weeks mm-hmm. away from this. We are hurtling towards an industrial collapse in the United States if they continue along this path. And I do think that you're going to see cooler heads prevail at some point, because the workers of this country will prove that they are the ones that are necessary to keep this country running.
Well, that's the question, isn't it? And I was always kind of told by the left that we should always put workers first, and workers should own the means of production.
Workers of the world unite.
Yeah, and I think conservatives have probably been out of balance, quite honestly, with having probably too much of an emphasis on capital and not enough on labor. But don't get me wrong, capital flows are very important, and investment is important, and entrepreneurship is important, and having a
small... Well, when you take ESG out of it.
Yeah, of course, obviously, environmental, sustainable, whatever.
Governance.
Yes, which is...
Well, this is the Great Reset, right? So this is the Fed prints money, gives it to their buddies at BlackRock and Blackstone. They institute ESG.
With Larry Fink.
And Larry Fink, and then Jerome Powell, their stooge over there, mm-hmm. they're all insider trading. And what they do is they rank companies by their ESG. So essentially what they are, Larry Fink and these other Wall Street boomers will go up there and push this ESG, and they'll go to these companies, like they'll go to Facebook, and they say, oh, you're not censoring people enough. Well, your ESG score is going to go down now, and you're going to get less money.
Yeah,
you're
it's
going
environmental,
to get less
social, and corporate governance, which is a woke score that is given to publicly traded companies to try to get them to be more like Democrat super PACs.
Right. So you're going to get – so think of it, folks. None of this is being done through Congress. You're going to get the Green New Deal. You're going to have – this is your social credit
through
score.
Through an extra governmental body.
You know, through an extra governmental body, through the Fed and their operational – so BlackRock and Blackstone essentially operate as the operational arm of the Fed in this, right? And ESG, that's your social credit score. Just call it what it is. That's the social credit score, the same way China has. They're putting it on all of these companies.
So environmental, social, and corporate governance is what ESG stands for.
They used to call it – when I worked in China, like back in the 2000s, it was corporate social responsibility. And that just meant like, oh, we're going to build some schools, you know, we're going to try to give back a little bit. And that's all it was. But now they've taken this from China, the social credit score idea, and now they're applying it to American
corporate
companies.
Corporate
social credit score.
That's perfectly said. And so let's dive into this a little bit more, because now what you're saying is there's going to be multiple kind of points of collision points, right? So it won't just be that the government is mandating this, which is bad enough.
Right. So when you were just saying those capital flows are important, and they are, obviously, but they are going to be bottlenecked by your corporate social credit score.
That's right.
Which is your ESG. So if your ESG rating isn't high enough, well, then they're going to go to you and say, so it used to be, you know, oh, is this company doing well? Are the fundamentals good? Does this product look like it makes sense? Sure, then let's put some money here. Not anymore. Because of the money printer go burr over at the Fed, they are flush. And this has been 15 years now, right? This isn't anything new. It's gone on 15 years.
We're in the modern monetary
theory. In modern monetary theory, it's not like Charlie Kirk and Jack Posobiec can just walk up to the Fed and be like, hey, can I get some of that money, man? Where's the money? No, they give it to BlackRock. They give it to Blackstone. Then the money.
Well, they don't give it to them, but
they loan it.
That's right. But it's because they have the assets to be able to take the money. I just want to make
precisely.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
It's not a wire transfer.
No,
because of size that
but
they're
here's,
able to
but
get.
But here's the point, right? That's going to the largest money managers.
That's correct.
And then
that's
they give it out to the largest banks. And then the banks give it out to people. This is what you're seeing in the housing market too, by the way, right? Because they're realizing that. And if you're a lender, of course, like, why wouldn't you want to give – why would I want to give money to – give a loan to some Joe Schmo and I could be giving money to BlackRock?
Yes, and they also manage pension funds. They manage many other massive places of kind of money management. But this is an important point where you have – so I want to read this email. Let me actually do this because it actually pertains to you, but it's part of the kind of general theme. Hi, Charlie. Attached is a memo that went out to all Navy personnel specifically outlining the consequences of those who do not comply with the mandatory vaccination.
I saw this morning, yeah.
Yeah, I have also attached the specific page that my husband received. He's an 18-year veteran of the Afghan War and will probably be separated without any retirement benefits, which includes no pension and no medical. We are Christians and are very concerned about being injected with the vaccine against our will. I hope you can talk about this on your show. I draw attention to the threatening tone in this document. Most young sailors have caved because they are afraid of the consequences, but senior officers, such as my husband, will be discharged, probably even with a dishonorable discharge. Now, Jack, you are a Navy man. What's going on here?
Yeah, so what I've been sent, and you know, I've got the list here as well because I think you and I probably got that same email. It says, this is from the Navy, from, as we would say, big Navy. Administrative action if you refuse the what they call lawful order to vaccinate. Think about that. The lawful order to vaccinate. Administrative action includes mandatory processing for separation. That means you're out. Ineligible for advancement, promotion, reenlistment, or to execute orders. Right. So you're stuck. So you're stuck in place. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. You can't even be promoted. Even if you have full time in service, if you have good time, everything, if you're completely eligible, you've passed everything, you will not be promoted. Ineligible for separation pay, so you're not even going to get paid for it. Mm-hmm. Recouplement of unearned incentive pays or recoupment, so which means if you have any bonuses, any housing, et cetera, per diem that you're owed, gone. Receive a special FITREP eval documenting failure to comply with medical readiness. Now that is something that's your permanent record, right? So that'll stay on your military record. That'll be attached to your DD-214, which is your discharge paperwork, which means if you ever try to come back in, you know, years later, let's say all this gets turned off, let's say, you know, the Biden regime is gone, Milley's gone, the rest of it, and things get turned back. Well, guess what? That's still going to be on your paperwork. So it's going to be very hard for you to reenlist or if you want to go back in the Guard. I've never seen in the entire time that I was in the Navy or the time that I've been out, I've never seen something like this. I've never seen this tone. I've never seen this absolutely aggressive posture that they're taking towards this. This is something that goes far. Because normally, okay, so talk about vaccines in the military. Sure, you get vaccinated when you join the military. You go through boot camp and they go through, we call it Vaccine Alley, right? You just walk through and you've got these two pieces of gauze on your shoulders like this. And you get shot here, shot here, shot here, shot here, shot here, shot here, hold the gauze. And then the last shot goes somewhere else, not in the shoulder. And then you sit down and you hold the gauze on, you know, until the bleeding stops. So then, and that's your basic stuff. So what you get after that, though, is if you're – let's say you're going on a deployment. So I went to Guantanamo Bay. Now, because I came into direct contact with detainees, specifically detainees from Afghanistan because it was Taliban, tuberculosis was something that is a big issue. So you'll get that.
Middle East respiratory MERS.
Right. Yeah. So you're getting vaccinations for specific reasons, but these are things that have been tested. These are things that have been on the books for a long time. But it's only deployment specific. There's never been something like this where a vaccine comes around and is suddenly turned on and ordered.
And I just want to remind everybody, we've been doing a partnership with Alliance Defending Freedom. You guys go to charliekirk.com. That's charliekirk.com. Click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. In fact, I think we have some sound from my friend Mike Pompeo, who is talking about ADF. And you'd think a church would be the last place that would have to even worry about religious freedom. But over the past year, we've even seen churches, Jack, you know this, be forced to close during the pandemic. And many public figures, including former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, has something to say about that. Play tape.
There are those who would want to deny us the capacity to practice our faith and to worship in the way that we choose. Or if we choose not to, no faith at all. We need to make sure that this nation remains that beacon of religious freedom for the entire world, to model how the dignity of every human being created in the image of God can be reflected by the capacity for those individuals to practice their faith.
ADF is fighting for us, so let's help them out. Go to charliekirk.com and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, charliekirk.com, or phone your gift to 888-716-7461, 888-716-7461. All right, so Jack, I want to ask you the question, is this intentional or is this incompetence? What's happening? Vaccine mandates, supply chain issues, all of that.
Well, so I think you've got a little bit of both, right? I think you've got a lot of incompetence down the chain, but I really do think that you have a certain arrogance at the top. I think you've got people who say, if there are people who won't comply, we don't want them in our military. We don't want that kind of workforce. They want to create, and you've heard this, by the way, from Joe Biden, so I'm not saying anything that he hasn't said, right? He is using, when Afghanistan went the way it did, when it went sideways on him, when it turned into a soup sandwich, as they would say in the military, he needed something to do to take that out of the headlines. So what did he decide to do? The same way that any tyrannical despot or just, you know, illegitimate leader, et cetera, whatever you want to say in history is done. I'm just talking about history. You pick an issue, you polarize and divide the population, and you make it about them versus us. And so you completely talk about that and you don't talk about Afghanistan, which is what I'm talking about. So he decided that to make the unvaccinated, this was going to be the scapegoat for all of society's ills. And so anytime that you see him, they go to the supply chain. When you talk about the issues with the airlines, when you talk about the issues with the economy, when you talk about the Bidenflation, the hyperinflation that's going on, you turn to Joe Biden, turn to the administration, Jen Psaki, et cetera, across the board. Unvaccinated, 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 unvaccinated. I'm surprised they haven't blamed the unvaccinated for the failure of Afghanistan, by the way, at this point, because they will just find a way to blame every single one of society's ills. Because blaming Trump kind of wasn't working, because it seems like a lot of these problems sort of came up after he left. So if he's not in office anymore, how do you blame him for stuff that wasn't going on then, right? Well, you pick a new group. That group is the unvaccinated. And if you watch Joy Reid, by the way, my favorite show, other than the Charlie Kirk show,
thank you,
is Joy Reid.
You do enjoy the readout.
I watch the readout every – it's actually, I think, the only cable news show that I – sorry, Tucker. It's the only cable news show that I watch every single day. You know why? Because you have to see what makes them tick. This is like we were talking earlier. Rommel, I read your book.
That's right.
Right. You have to understand what they're doing. I was on the Joy Reid show once, years ago.
Were you really?
She threw me off for
sure. She actually used to be better. And that's hard to believe. She actually used to be less radical.
Yeah. Well, she also used to be radical in another direction.
That's
too,
right.
Way, way long ago. But no, she had me on and I was on a panel and I started telling her that LBJ was a racist.
It's true.
And he was a complete racist. And he was against the civil rights movement the entire time that he was in Congress, the entire time he was in the Senate. And then he cynically took it up when he was president and he changed it to include the Great Society program rather than what, you know, the earlier bills had been for.
Yes.
He was part of the people who were filibustering, along with, by the way, Al Gore Sr., the father of Al Gore. And so I lay all that out. I said, this is just history, Joy. Like, you're not going to tell me
that
didn't happen. And she starts freaking out and yelling and everything
else. So let me ask you a practical question for people in the military, people in jobs, whatever. What do they do right now about the vaccine, Jack, with all of the combined intelligence that you have? What do people do?
Now is the time to stand strong. Right now is now. And keep in mind that if they get away with this, then what are they going to do next? You think they're going to end with vaccine mandates for the workers? Guess what comes next? It's not just going to be the pilots and the flight attendants. It's going to be the passengers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not just going to be the retail workers. It's going to be the customers. And then it's going to be everybody, right? And then what happens when you see this? We already see the ESG score come out for the corporation. So you've got your corporate social credit score. What happens when they say, you know what? We need to make sure that you're living your personal life within these green standards, within these social standards. So, you know, if you don't want your taxes to go up, then, you know, we're going to impose a tax on that because, you know, we understand, folks. At some point, you have to step up and say, no mas. You have to say, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
And it's hard for some people because they say, I didn't sign
up
for this.
Well, I get that.
We live in a different country, unfortunately, than I think a lot of people have realized. And it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take a cost.
Everybody, Everybody wants to be a patriot until it's time to do patriot things.
Well, I mean, I will say that people want to. They got to realize the moment that they're in.
Yeah.
And
realize what point of the movie
seeing,
you're
in. I am going to say I'm seeing a lot of people step up and stand up that have never thought they'd be part of this. And they say, you know what? My card has been called. And I see some people obviously, you know, backing down and being cowardly. But then I see a lot of other people stepping up and being
strong. No, I want to
inspire
that, and I want to inspire a lot of other people. Like, be the person, as Andrew Breitbart used to say, walk towards the fire.
Yes.
Because when you walk towards the fire and you take the slings and arrows at you, other people will see you doing it, and they will be inspired to realize that they can do it too.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, you could do so by going to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.